Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former University of West Virginia star running back Eugene Napoleon. Let me give you a little background on Eugene. He is from Jersey City, New Jersey. Started out playing his college ball at Pitt, and I hate the fact that that didn't work out. He ended up transferring over to West Virginia. Over his time there, he rushed for just over 1,000 yards, had another 173 receiving yards, and 573 kick return yards. And I still remember his 69-yard touchdown run against Penn State back in 1988 and his kickoff return for a touchdown against Maryland. He went on to play in the Arena League for the Tampa Bay Storm and the Orlando Predators. He's written a book titled Dream Real. He's also a great guest speaker as well as being a sports agent, and we're excited that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Eugene. Happy New Year. Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being on the show, and Happy New Year to you as well.
So, Eugene, I want to start by going back to the beginning with you. And as I was doing, you know, research about your life and your career, you grew up in Marion Garden Housing Project there in Jersey City, New Jersey. Tough circumstances. And you rose above that and you became one of the top college running back recruits. Talk about your sort of your story and how you were able to go from where you started to being where you were and getting into being, like I say, one of the top college recruits in the country back in the mid 80s.
Wow. First off, I'm gonna thank God for putting me in that position. My mom, she was a woman that didn't really play too much. Listen, when she told you to do something, you did it. So I grew up understanding what discipline was all about, and my mom was my hero. So I was fortunate to play at the little league level for some really, really good coaches, and just taught me what hard work and dedication was all about. So aside from having, you know, God-given talent, I was the type of kid that was, you know, the first one in the gym, the last one out. First one on the field, last one off type of guy. So when you combine those two things, I just think that good things happen. So I was blessed to go to St. Joseph's High School and play for the legendary Frank Gargiulo. And things just took off from there. I mean, I had a great high school career. And by the time I was a junior, pretty much every school in the country knew about me. So going into my senior year, I made, you know, four or five All-American, actually about seven All-American teams to be exact. And Tom Lemming had me listed as one of the top running backs in the entire country. So I had scholarships, you know, from every university, every major university in the country. And came down between Pittsburgh and Oklahoma. I actually committed to Pitt early. I was a big Tony Dorsett fan. And back then, if you were a running back, I don't care what part of the country you played in, you know, you love Tony Dorsett, and I was a big Dorsett fan. I mean, a huge Dorsett fan. So I told my mom when I was 7 years of age that I was going to go to Pittsburgh. You know, how ironic is that? And those some years later, it wound up becoming a reality for me. So, you know, it was a no-brainer. You know, I picked Pitt. 1985 was my freshman year there. And unfortunately, my older sister passed away. She had a brain aneurysm during my freshman year. And it just changed the course of everything. You know what I mean? It was just a tough year for me. I wasn't redshirted. One of two freshmen, true freshmen that wasn't redshirted at the time. And, you know, once she passed, things didn't pan out the way I thought they would have after her death. And it kind of put me in a position to figure that maybe leaving Pitt was the best, for me and for my family at the time.
And Eugene, when we were talking about you coming on the show and the things that that you were able to do and the things that you accomplished, boy, it was disappointing to me to hear that it didn't work out at Pitt. Certainly understand the family situation. You go back and when I look at your game log, 1988, you guys got a big win over Pitt, oh, by the way. And like I mentioned a moment ago, one of my favorite memories of you is your 69-yard touchdown run against Penn State. How satisfying was it to, A, beat Pitt, and then have a big run and a big game against Penn State when Pitt and Penn State were such large rivals, and I'm sure still rivals for you guys at West Virginia?
Definitely. It was a blessing. First off, whenever you can beat Penn State, I don't care if it's in the back of a parking lot. I always make that joke when I speak to people. You know, Joe Pa had legendary teams, and God bless his soul. That was a big, big game. Obviously, whenever you play a national televised game, you want to play well. And we were fortunate. I mean, that 88 team was such a special team, great group of guys, and we were well coached. So that was a great game. And again, with Pittsburgh, you know, again, it's tough because a lot of those guys were, you know, were my former teammates. A lot of those guys I was recruited with, so I knew them personally, obviously. That was an emotional game. Every time I played against Pitt, it was emotional simply because that's where I started. So beating them in 88 was special as well, you know, as well as all the other teams, because we wound up, as you know, we wound up going undefeated that year and playing Notre Dame for a national championship. So those games are always memorable, again, because the rivalry is such at a high level. You always want to play well in those games, but little something special, extra special when you're playing Pitt and Penn State.
And Eugene, to your point that you made a moment ago, you guys ran the table in 88 during the regular season. You end up facing number one Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl for the national championship. What do you remember about being a part of a national championship game?
Unbelievable. First off, just getting to that point, and especially back then as it is today, I don't think people really understand what it takes to be consistent enough to get up week in and week out and play at that level. And again, Darnell and the rest of our staff did a great job of keeping us humble and keeping us just taking it one practice at a time, one game at a time. Once we got to about 5-0, maybe 6-0, we kind of had it in our minds that we had a good enough team to run the table. And there's something that happens when you start to read your press clippings and all that good stuff. And I felt like our staff did such a good job of keeping us grounded that when we got to 7-0 and 8-0 and 9-0, we just went out and handled our business accordingly because we had such a good staff and, you know, really good seniors that really led that team. So it was a great feeling to get to Notre Dame. Preparing that week, we felt really confident that we had a good game plan, offense, defense, and special teams going into that national championship game. And it takes your breath away when you think about it, because you don't, until you're there and you're playing in that moment, it's kind of difficult to put it into words. Coming out, I'll never forget, coming out the tunnel, it's almost like I couldn't breathe. It was one of them things, like it was like an elephant was sitting on my chest. Until you hit the field and start warming up, and then, of course, things loosen up a little bit, and now you're ready to go. It was one of the more memorable experiences of my life. Getting married to my beautiful wife, having my son Brandon, and playing in a national championship game, those things are kind of etched, you know, together, you know, in my memory banks.
Bob, questions for Eugene?
Hey, Eugene, again, it's an honor to have you on the show, and you touched on what I wanted to ask you about. You touched on it a little bit already about your upbringing in Jersey City, and obviously one of the great influences that kept you on a straight path was your mother, an incredible mother. And but it's just, you see so many, I'm sure you've seen so many sad stories to come out of the project, Eugene. It's just, it breaks all of our hearts, and you've seen it up close. I just want to know other things that, beside your mom, that kept you on such a incredible path, because as you know, it's not easy to do what you did.
No, thank you so much, Bob, and I appreciate that. I'm going to say it's all about perspective, and my mom, you're right, she did a heck of a job. I didn't want to disappoint my mom. That was for starters, but I think it's really up to each individual when you start to think about some of the things you can get caught up in and maybe some of the things that you probably shouldn't do. And I don't want to browbeat, you know, anyone. I just know that my upbringing was a little bit different because I had a chance to see, like you said, I had a chance to see some of other people's, you know, pitfalls, and I kind of learned from them, you know. I definitely kind of learned from them. And where I grew up, we had a community of people that if they saw you trying to do things and stay on the right track, they helped you to do that. I had a lot of people that came to me and said, listen, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you know, you're not in the partying. We want to see you do well. So they kind of helped to push and make sure that I didn't go astray. So it definitely helped my mom, you know, coming from a single parent home, that community banded together in Marion Gardens. I mean, that's why I love Jersey City so much today. And that I wouldn't be who I am today had it not been for my experiences in Marion Garden Projects, because it was such a community of if you're doing well, they want to continue to see you to do well, and they want to push you in that direction. So, you know, I owe a lot to JC. I owe a lot to Marion Gardens. Like I said, I wouldn't be where I am or who I am today had it not been, you know, for that upbringing. It definitely, it's tough. It definitely teaches you certain things. You know, I went to high school 45 minutes to 50 minutes from where I grew up. So I had to get up at 5 a.m. My mom didn't have a car, and I had to walk, you know, 12 blocks up a hill, get on the 44 Park Avenue bus, and travel to St. Joseph's, the Palisades High School. So, it, you know, it taught, yeah, I learned a lot about discipline, time management, and all of those things. So those are things that are necessary, I think, in being successful in life, you know, in any capacity. You have to have those things in order to be successful.
And Eugene, it's obvious you have an incredible interest in giving back. You've spent over 20 years with special needs students and giving back to a community. Do these kids you work with, Eugene, do they know your background? Do they know your athletic exploits? And do you use that to your advantage?
It's funny that you say that. A lot of my kids, you know, my boys, they're athletes. They want to be athletes. So, yeah, the funniest thing, and I didn't realize this until I, you know, been working with special needs, like you said, for the past 20 years. If they can't Google you or look you up on YouTube, you know, to them, you're nobody. So,
I hear you.
You know, it messed me up because this new social media piece is interesting. Over the last few years, my kids would come in and I'm in a self-contained setting with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So they'll come back and they'll, oh my God, Mr. N, I Googled you last night, man. I watched you on YouTube. Oh, you were awesome. And it's funny to me because I look back on it and I'm thinking to myself, wow, that stuff, first off, is still up all these years later. You know, and they do more research on that than they do anything else. So, yeah, I use that to my advantage because I tell them, listen, here's where God gave me an opportunity to do some things. And, I put it in order and I'm thankful that God orders my steps. So if you work hard and do the things that you're supposed to do, you too can have these type of successes in your life. But you have to put it in order. You have to know what you need to do to in order to be successful, the discipline and the character and the morals and those things. And if you want to do that, then, yeah, I'm standing right in front of you. I've done it. There's no reason why you can't achieve it as well. So I do use that to my advantage.
Eugene, one more before we let you go. And I know that there's a documentary about your life coming out in March. Talk about that project.
Yes, I'm so thankful and blessed. Skylar Callahan gave me an opportunity about a year ago. He gave me a call. He's the CEO of WV Nation. And it's interesting. He said, listen, you know, we want to do a documentary and we want you to be the first. We want to come and chronicle your years at WVU. Would you mind? And I pinched myself. I said, you know what? This is great. I would love to give back and just to share with the great fans, you know, of West Virginia. And what it meant for me to be a Mountaineer, that stuff was so important to me. I jumped at the opportunity to do it. So we actually shot it a few months ago. It should be done and ready to be shipped to me, which I'll get it to my distributor by mid-February. And it drops on 11 platforms. You know, God has blessed me with a huge distribution deal with Primo Media. So Inside the Jersey with Eugene Napoleon will be out in mid-March. On 11 platforms. So, I mean, places like Verizon, Amazon Prime, Xbox, Xfinity, you know, iTunes, like Apple TV, those type of platforms in mid-March. So I'm blessed. I'm humbled by it. It's a great honor. I can tell you that. It's a great honor. It's my tribute back to the great fans of West Virginia, the state of West Virginia, and our great university. So I'm blessed to be in this position.
Well, Eugene, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show. We hope, you know, maybe sometime in March after the documentary drops, you'll come back and share how it's going and feedback you've given. And plus, both Bob and I have lots of other questions we'd love to get your insights on about how the University of West Virginia is doing and looking ahead to that program for next season. But we thank you so much for your time tonight. We hope to see you back again soon.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me. It's a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugene.
Take care, Eugene. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
That is former University of West Virginia star running back Eugene Napoleon. Bob, I'm really looking forward to that documentary. I don't know if you had an opportunity, but he has some great highlights out there. Again, that touchdown run against Penn State, the great kickoff return against Maryland, and that 88 team that got all the way, ran the table during the regular season, all the way to the national championship game against Notre Dame, and our friend Devon McDonald, who was a part of that 88 Notre Dame team. But boy, what a nice man, and what a great story he has.
I'm sure it's very well done, Chris, and he could have been a spotlight on the positive right there. He's getting back, and isn't it great? I mean, such a terrific guest. And then next time we have him out, we can get more into his own playing career at West Virginia and both in the Arena League. Great guy, new friend, glad to have him.
All right, we've got our next guest, Paul Alexander, hanging on the line. Going to get to Paul after the other side of this station break.